Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. This is like our third try at this intro because my Wi-Fi absolutely stinks, but I think it might be working this time. Pack, am I working? Am I working properly?
You're working.
I am working properly. All right. So, but we got a special bonus pod, Who Says No, for you guys today. Before we get going, before I drop some knowledge on you, subscribe. Wherever you're getting your podcast, subscribe. Five-star rating. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Find us on YouTube on the WEEI channel. Got the Play Tessie playlist there. Find all our episodes. Subscribe to WEEI. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. Find us on the socials, at Play Tessie, both Twitter and Instagram. I got through the opening. I'm still here. The video looks good. The audio sounds good. We're crystal clear. I'm here with Pat again. Joe's in the back producing. Sammy is, I believe this is going to be his last episode away. He will be back in our great city of Boston for the next one. But, Pat, are you ready for me to drop some knowledge today?
Yeah, I always am. Always am.
So we talked a lot about it on our last episode, how, like, the right-handed bat, it's in flux. Like, you need that guy. And if they've gotten the guy by now, like, hopefully they have. Like, we are recording this ahead of time. But unless they've signed Alex Bregman by now, then this trade could be the thing. I don't know if it's going to be like what actually happens, but I'll tell you, if the Twins are willing to listen on Carlos Correa, this is a guy that the Red Sox should be all over. You think about, let's think, why do we like Alex Bregman? Why does Alex Bregman work? All right, there he and Correa are around the same age. Alex Bregman doesn't strike out a lot. Carlos Correa doesn't strike out a lot. Alex Bregman can play plus defense at multiple infield positions. Carlos Correa can play plus defense at multiple infield positions. Alex Bregman hits from the right side. Carlos Correa hits from the right side. Alex Bregman, 20 plus homer pop. Carlos Correa, when healthy, 20 plus homer pop. So they're both guys that could fit right in the middle of that lineup, protect Rafael Devers, hit third. He could be maybe your shortstop. You push Trevor Story to second for a year, and then you move him to third. Or he could be your third baseman, because to me, I've always been against moving Devers off of DH unless you're doing it for a legitimate star third baseman. Carlos Correa would be that. Obviously, that would come with moving Yoshida. So my trade here, I think it's a little bit of an overpay from the Red Sox, but it's something I would do if the Twins are willing to do it. Willier Abreu for Carlos Correa straight up. You'd be giving the Twins exceptional value for a guy that they are paying a lot of money for the next 4 years. But he is, when on the field, outperforming his deal. He has surplus value right now. I think he's about $25 million outperforming his salary. But he is slated to make $37 million this year. And with the Twins up for sale, that might be a contract that they're willing to listen on, willing to potentially move. The reporting has been that they're not shutting down discussions there. So for the Red Sox, that's your middle of the order bat. That's the guy improving your infield defense. That's the unquestioned leader of the team. All the things you like in Alex Bregman, you'd get in Carlos Correa. But he only has four guaranteed years. as opposed to Bregman, where it's probably going to be six, maybe even seven. So if you can get that guy, a great, great fit. And after those 4 years, there's a bunch of option years at like wildly affordable rates. So, and it's all based off of games played. So after those 4 years, starting at his age 35 season, the vesting options are $25 million, then $20 million, then $15 million, then $10 million. So basically by the end of that deal, like if he plays a bunch of games, like you'd be paying him a bench player salary to hopefully still be a good player and a leader on your team. But yeah, spray chart built for Fenway. There are only three ballparks from a home run perspective that had he played every game at last year, he would have hit more home runs than he would have at Fenway Park, if that makes sense. Doesn't strike out, does walk, has pop. As I said, swing built for Fenway, but he can spray it. Sox can afford to take on some money in a scenario like this where the Twins are hopefully looking to shed it. If the Twins aren't looking to shed money, I mean, maybe it's a good enough value trade where they'd make it anyway, but I don't trade Carlos Correa unless I need to dump that salary or unless you're really scared about the injury stuff moving forward. But yeah, salary decreases every year and only the next 4 years are guaranteed. He only played 86 games last year, but you'd be shocked to learn if you don't know already. He had a 905 OPS and fielding-wise would be above average wherever you play him. If you get Correa, I would treat it, assuming they can't move Yoshida this year, which I think is a fair assumption. I don't think they're moving Yoshida. I don't think they can move Yoshida. I think you'd put Correa at short and Story at second, or maybe Correa plays second. I don't know. I think it would be with the plan of moving him to third in a year, kind of like Bregman. But for now, you'd have three outfield spots, and only one of them would be guaranteed. It'd be Duran. The other two spots, you'd have a competition with Campbell, Anthony, Rafaela, maybe even Vaughn Grissom as a left fielder. Those four guys competing for two spots, and that's how you can kind of roll with it until you can dump Yoshida when he hopefully builds up his value a little bit. Obviously, the downside here is the amount of money he's making would jump the Sox considerably over the tax, and it would be so far where it would actually be pretty hard to duck it mid-season if that's the path you wanted to take. Like, I don't know that trading Buehler and Giolito mid-season would get you there, but hopefully you're invested enough in this season where that's not even a thought in your mind. As for the Twins, why would they do it? Like I said, reportedly at least open to listening to Correa, maybe looking to cut payroll as they're selling, though I am a little bit nervous about that Phoenix Suns owner maybe being the buyer and maybe not caring about having salary on the books. But the fact that they're at least willing to listen, I think, shows that it's at least on the table as an option. We've heard similar things about Pablo Lopez. I'm sure they would listen on Byron Buxton, but obviously that one scares me a lot. And then as for the return, why Willier Abreu works, they just lost Max Kepler, and they could use a really good outfielder at a league minimum salary. Correa's salary jumped from $33 million to $37 million this year. So yeah, paying him close to $40 million may not be ideal. You'd now have Willier Abreu on a minimum deal, coming off a Gold Glove season and a guy whose bat you're hoping, and if you're trading for him, you're expecting to take that step forward next year. Now might be the highest you could ever sell on Carlos Correa, because if he gets hurt again, he's going to, like, he already has the injury kind of notion to him. But if he gets hurt again, I just don't know with the money he's being paid that you would be able to dump him. It would kind of be like how we look at Trevor Story, where we don't even talk about dumping him because he can't. So that's where I'm at. It's a one-for-one trade. It's complex because of the money involved, but it's simple in the names. Who says no, Pat?
I like it. From the Sox standpoint, you do this 10 times out of 10. You absolutely take the risk on a guy like Correa just because the track record is so good. You're not really, it's not like he's like a flash in the pan guy. You're like, oh, like he had a good year last year. Then he got hurt. Maybe he'll go, like, you know what Carlos Correa is at this point. He is a defensive stud. He is a power bat. He's a high average guy. He gets on base. He doesn't strike out. That is a guy that legit fills every single hole you need. In terms of the money, there should be no reason that money should be a turnoff for the Red Sox right now. They've been under the tax long enough. If you're going over, do it meaningfully. Correa, Bregman, like, do it in a manner where you're like, this is a guy worth going over for. And I think a healthy Correa absolutely is exactly that. From the Twins' perspective, and again, this is under the assumption that they need to clear books for the sale. I think if Matt Ishiba,
I think something like that, yeah.
He won't give a shit. He won't care. He's paying like hundreds of millions in the tax in the NBA right now. But if it's like they're like, this franchise is more appealing, the less people are kind of stepping in the mud and they want to move it, then yeah, I think they're open to moving Correa, and they would want something back. Obviously he's a bit kind of franchise healthy. Willier's interesting. I see the appeal of Willier for Minnesota. He is young, controlled, cheap, Gold Glove outfielder. The bat is not, I don't think the bat's ever going to get worse. It literally cannot get worse against lefties. It can only get better. So I like the fit of Willier. I think it just really boils down to how badly they want to get off the contract. And could they get a better package if they were willing to eat some money? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But they're not eating money. The Twins. They're not doing that.
So there's that point of it. Because as you were saying it, I was trying to go down their top prospects. I know Walker Jenkins. I don't think they have anybody truly like good to go this year, like on the cusp, kind of like a Roman Anthony or Campbell.
And you know what, Pat? If they do, they've got Byron Buxton, man, in one of those outfield spots. He's going to have multiple IL stints like he does every year.
Yeah.
They'll get their chance.
So then my other thought was, okay, what's their rotation look like right now? Because you have Ober, you have Lopez, you have Joe Ryan. So maybe, like, I think it's a switch, like a not a bait and switch, but if they prefer Cutter, do Cutter. Like, Cutter in a mid-tier prospect, sure. They prefer Willier, sure. If they really want to dump the money, I think they do it. And if you're the Red Sox, you absolutely do it. I would lean Twins say no. But it's not a hard, the Twins won't do this.
I'll tell you, there's one question, one key question for both sides. For the Twins, it's, do you want to clear money? Is there a legitimate desire to shed salary? And for the Red Sox, it's how uncomfortable would a fifth and sixth year on Alex Bregman make you? Because the only reason you would do this is because you're uncomfortable giving Bregman a fifth and sixth year. Like if you're comfortable with 6 years for Bregman, then why would you trade Willier Abreu to get a guy who I think he's probably a better per game player than Alex Bregman, but obviously the injury concerns are far greater with Correa. But he's a 4 year deal. The first 4 years are guaranteed. And if he's playing the games, I think you're totally happy paying him 25, 20, 15, and $10 million a year. Like, sign me up if he's playing the games.
Yeah.
So if they're uncomfortable with the idea of giving Bregman 6 years, if it's like, if that's what's the holdup, and like, they don't see a future with Willier Abreu in the outfield, and they're willing to sacrifice that for someone who fits the roster. We've been over it a bunch. There's not a lot of offensive guys, right-handed bats that improve your lineup, improve your defense. Like, it's hard to solve a lot in one offseason. So I think he makes just as much sense as a player as Bregman does, but it's basically, what would you rather? 6 years or maybe even seven of Bregman, or four guaranteed years of Correa, but you lose Willier? That's the question.
Yeah. And then the other thing too, that, and this is probably a rare, I don't know how often this happens, but I think if the Twins wanted more, instead of the Sox adding, I actually wonder if them also offloading like Christian Vasquez does it. Like if you did Correa and Vasquez for Willier, they're clearing two contracts, get a piece back. And Vasquez like fills a hole the Sox need on not a terrible deal.
It's not a great one. It's not great.
But at the same time, it's like it's one of those weird cases where to get the deal done, instead of adding more, you take on more, which is weird. I think there's a lot of different routes that they can go. It could be Cutter, it could be Willier, it could be Correa straight up, it could be Vasquez, it could be Cutter and a prospect. Like, there's some matchmaking there that kind of works if they do want to dump Correa and clear salary.
I wonder, this idea literally just came into my head as we're talking. And by the way, to that point, I do think that at that point, the Red Sox might be taking on too much salary for where they might be a little bit too uncomfortable. But work with me here. Would there be a deal to be made where the Red Sox could swap Story and Correa? And the Red Sox would have to include a legitimately good prospect to do it. But would that, I don't know. I think people will hear that and think yes. And then when you hear the type of prospect it would take to get the Twins to do that swap, it would be an automatic no. Because I think it would be maybe not. Yeah, it might take a big three. It might take a big three guy to get them to do that.
Like an Arias plus. Like, yeah, that's
Arias, Willier, Moore. Yeah, so maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. If you're getting into like Willier, Arias, and like Cespedes or Blaze,
then it's like, okay, yeah.
That's too much.
They'll do that. I want to bring in Joe because just sign Bregman. But like we like to get multiple opinions on these things. Sammy's not here, so Joe, let's go to the original one. Willier for Correa straight up, who says no?
So I'm pretty much on the same line as Pat that I think the Sox absolutely do this. Like one for one, it's pretty simple. You have a surplus of outfielders with a bunch of guys coming up. And then you also have that hole that we talked about with Bregman, where it comes to defensively in the clubhouse, power bat, yada, yada, yada. I would lean that the Twins say no, but I would say that I'm a little more firm on the no than maybe Pat is when it comes to the flexibility that they might take. Like, I think it's going to include probably not a lot more, but definitely a bunch more pieces than just a one for one. Like, if they wanted a major leaguer, then you'd put in Cutter or maybe a Quinn Priester or Richard Fitz, and then maybe another prospect or so. Maybe not necessarily at the level of Arias or whoever, but someone hovering in that top 10 or whatever, maybe like in the 15th range or so. I think the Twins might want to ask for a little bit more if they're giving up, as you said, Gordo, Carlos Correa at what is his highest value right now.
The truth is, a deal like this can really only come together. A deal like this form of a deal can really only come together if there's desperation from the side of the team with the salaried player to dump the salary. Like, the reason the Red Sox and the Mariners couldn't line up for Luis Castillo is because the Mariners weren't truly desperate to offload that contract. Like, it was more like we'll do it if it makes us better. There wasn't desperation there. And there certainly wasn't desperation from the Red Sox to get Castillo specifically, because as you saw, there were alternatives and they got Walker Buehler. So that was their alternative. With this trade, I agree with you, Joe. I really only think it gets done if there's like extreme desperation from the Twins to find a taker for the entire salary. Because if they're shipping off the entire salary and like the obvious injury risks have been documented, then that's when you might be able to, like, that would be a good haul for them if they're really trying to offload that salary and get what you can. But there's a lot of factors that go into it. And obviously the big factor is, are the Red Sox so unwilling to give out a long-term deal to the remaining crop of players that this is the path that they'd want to go? So it's an interesting concept, but I think people, when talking about Correa trades, I'm kind of glad that you guys both said that you lean towards the Twins saying no, because I think that the conversations when Red Sox fans hear about Carlos Correa's potential availability think that it would be a straight dump and the Red Sox would have to give up minimal prospect capital, minimal value of anything if they're taking on the money. I don't think that's true at all, even though he only played 86 games last year. He's still very much good enough where he would get a real return. And if you're going that route instead of Bregman, like, it is going to cost you in terms of prospects.
Yeah, I think I think people truly forget how good a healthy Carlos Gray is. Like, I think he's, when healthy, pretty comfortably a top five shortstop in baseball. And I think I put him only behind Bobby Witt, Gunnar Henderson, Trey Turner, Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, I mean, and that would be the guy. Like, we've been over it so many times, but like a guy who fits in the middle of the lineup, a guy that Corey Seager, but yeah, guy that fits in the middle of the lineup, guy that hits right-handed, guy that can lead your team. If there's one thing, like we were talking about in the last episode, what could possibly be holding the Red Sox back on Bregman? Could it be that maybe they think a guy like this could be had and that deal might make more sense? It's one of the very, like Alex Cora said, we want a right-handed hitting second baseman. I mean, Correa could play second. He would be good at it. Correa could also play short and shift Story to second. He'd be good at it. He has been good at it. So I don't know. We're going to have to see, like, so many factors coming together. Any final thoughts on this deal or anything with the topic from you guys before we get out of here?
I would just say for the Twin, when you're asking about like the questions that we need to know, I think we don't need to know the Twins first before we know about the Sox and getting uncomfortable when it comes to spending. Because it feels like, I don't know for how long, but for a long time, the Twins have been in this flux of really great and really bad. It's kind of like what the Sox did in the mid-2010s, where they were on top of the world, winning the World Series, and then next year, boom, they go right to the bottom. So it's this weird, constant state of flux for Minnesota, and I think we just need a clear, crystal answer to what direction are they going in. Are they buying? Are they selling? Are they doing what the Sox have done for the past couple of years, trying to be competitive while selling off pieces? It would be so much easier to know for Minnesota.
And they've got young talent coming up. Like, Pat, you talked about Walker Jenkins. They've got this pitcher, Zebby Matthews, who's supposed to be good. He came up last year. They've got a good staff. Like, they can be a good team. Really, the question for me is, do they want to spend $37 million this year on one player? Because that has not been the Twins' MO. It was surprising to me when they gave Carlos Correa the contract that they did. So we'll see if the owner has a change of heart or if he's selling. Then does the new ownership want that money off the books, or do they want the best team possible? It's obviously dependent on the buyer. We haven't seen a whole lot. Like, the Twins have not tipped their hand, at least publicly. So we will see. But I do think the Red Sox lack of urgency on an Alex Bregman leaves me wondering if a deal like this could be maybe in their sights. So we'll see. It's going to happen at some, something's going to happen at some point, but till next time, I believe that this episode is dropping on Thursday, which means that we'll have a fresh new episode for you tomorrow, unless we had an emergency podcast for you at some point this week, in which case we probably won't, but just keep following the socials. You'll know what happens. You'll know when things drop. If you subscribe, you'll really know when things drop. So I recommend doing that. Subscribe to us on all of your podcast platforms. Rate 5 stars. Leave a comment. Tell us what you think of the trade. I'm sure we'll get hilarious Twitter comments on the trade like we do on all of our trades. It's a blast. Love the comments on these things. Joe, you make great graphics for the, and the engagement is fun. But yeah, follow us on the socials at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Check us out on YouTube on the WEI channel. PlayTessie Playlist there has all of the episodes. So subscribe to WEI. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. For Joe, for Pat, it's Gordo here. Happy New Year. Go Sox. We're on to 2025. Yeah, thanks for tuning into this one. We'll be back in your ears soon. But till next time, Gordo, Pat, and Joe here. PlayTessie. Peace.